let's build a stairway to the stars and climb that stairway to the stars. The moon will guide us as we go drifting along.
Australia has many talented people leading us up that stairway to heaven. Let them introduce themselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Thomas Pfister, and I'm here for Airbus. So Airbus is, of course, a well-known company. You probably all experienced some of our products with the aircraft, but besides that, we are having also other activities. Of course, we are designing also helicopters that are quite famous in Australia, and our last pillar is defense and space. And within defense and space, we are a big manufacturer, and actually we are using our two main industrial components, one being what we call space systems, that is working in France, UK, Germany, and Spain as well, which is focusing on Earth observation satellites, SBAS, on space situational awareness, on science mission, and of course also in telecommunication. The other component of the group that is doing space is called SSTL, and Surrey Technology in the UK, that is complementing our portfolio and also serving Australia. We heard about the CSIRO and the Novasar system that is designed by this Airbus company. So in Australia, we are present with a subsidiary that is a significant size, with 1,500 people in Australia, mainly working over the Airbus helicopter programs that we had in the past, like the Tiger and the MRH-90. Some of you may know this. We're also present with MRTT, that is an A330 refueling air tanker aircraft, and also, of course, with space, where we are supporting Australia with Earth observation data for more than 25 years in different activities in the country. And we are also delivering now SAR imagery with CSIRO. And, of course, having one of our main anchor stations that is now in close to Adelaide and close to Mawson Lakes, that is helping us to derive our business around the X-band services in Australia and in the region. And last but not least, you may have heard about this. Last year, in November, we opened our Windham facility, that is a HAPS facility, our Zephyr, that is a high-altitude pseudo-satellite. So we can talk about it here. It's still not exactly a satellite, but still flying a stratospheric level and delivering space-like services thanks to the persistence that we are having. We can fly more than 25 days and soon close to 100 days, delivering persistence in both Earth observation and telecom. So our commitment to Australia is quite wide, and especially in space, where we are. We were the first international company signing a strategic intent agreement with the Australian Space Agency. We are also one of the founding members of hopefully funded SmartSat CRC. We are a big partner and really want to engage into the development of technologies in Australia. And we are also, of course, committed into supporting STEM with some students that are coming in Europe and working on space with us. Then a brief few words about telecom. We are, of course, working on the satellite and the space segment, but also as a service with our X-band, the Skynet 5 programs that we are doing on behalf of UK MOD, but also delivering some capacity to Australian and UK allies. One of the big prime in the world for space, first European company in space, more than 50 years experience, more than 100 of geostationary satellites delivered today, and the first Earth observation exporter, but this is for the later panel.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Smart. I'm from the University of Queensland, and in particular, the Centre for Hypersonics, which is in the School of Mechanical and Mining Engineering. And I think what I'd like us to talk about today is how we transition world-leading research at universities into industry. I'm actually involved in a Actually, I'm the founder of a startup company called Hypersonics, where we're taking world-leading scramjet technology, hypersonic technology, and applying it to space launch and to develop a new way of going to space by flying to space. And I've encountered some issues, actually, and some difficulties in doing that. And some of them are to do with the universities. Others are to do with, taking advantage of opportunities.
My name is Michael Bukakis. I'm an assistant principal at Strathmore Secondary College, which is the campus in which the Victorian Space Science Education sits in. I'm also the director of that centre. It's one of six specialist STEM centres in Victoria and makes up what the Victorian government has established over the last 10 years as VicSTEM, which is the six centres plus the nine technical schools and also the three STEM secondary colleges that they've developed.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Glenn Tindall. I'm from SES. That's not the State Emergency Service. That's it's an acronym meaning European Satellite Company. So we're headquartered in Luxembourg. As of today, we're sort of the largest commercial satellite operator. We kicked off in about 1985 with television broadcasting. And so today we've got about 55 GEO satellites and about 20 MEO satellites. About 10 years ago, we went through an interesting transition where we moved from most of our capacity being in a GEO orbit to actually the majority is now in a MEO orbit. Those 55 GEO satellites have probably got about 2 gigabits apiece inside them, so they're probably 100 gigabits there. We've got more than that already in the MEO belt. The current constellation we've got in the Boeing factory at the moment, launching in 2021, will be a terabit system. So you can sort of see the scale. That, it took us practically 30 years to get to 100 gigabits, but we're about to go into a terabit within a couple of years. So that sort of had a fairly dramatic change on our business. In terms of sectors we service, and we're a global company, but we television broadcasting is still probably more than two-thirds of our business. In the data segment, we deal with sort of all of the usual verticals, enterprise and so forth, but government's probably about a third of that business, and I'm focused on the government area.
And a few of the terms that he used there were GEO, G-E-O. That means geostationary Earth orbit. That's an orbit at 38,000 kilometres above the Earth, in which a satellite goes around the Earth in 24 hours, which is the time that the Earth rotates in. So it appears to hover over one point over the equator. M-E-O. MEO means medium Earth orbit. That's the orbits between about 2,000 kilometres altitude to up to 35,000 kilometres. And kilo means thousand, mega means million, and giga means billion. Well, Jason Held is one of Australia's space industry leaders. As the founder of Sabre Astronautics, he was on the space show three times in 2017. Well, Jason is back in the news again. His company has signed a deal with the United States company Axiom Space to create an Australian presence on the International Space Station. Now, hitherto, Australia has ignored the space station. Sabre Astronautics will develop the first formal program to enable Australians to access the microgravity facilities on the space station. This will allow Australian industry to develop a new generation of space-developed products for human health, materials, electronics, and clean technology. Axiom has been selected to add a series of the company's privately developed modules to the International Space Station. Now, the first of these would be added in late 2024. Later, a cluster of Axiom modules would detach and become a free-flying private space station. Now, this is not all pie in the sky. The first Axiom private astronauts to the International Space Station will fly in February of next year, using a SpaceX Crew Dragon spaceship. Well, Sabre will hold a series of workshops in each state for the Australian companies to make them aware of the opportunities available to them. And this could involve flying their employees in space.
From Sandringham to South Yarra, you're listening to Southern FM.
One of the first people to detect the debris from the November 15 destruction of Cosmos 1408 in a Russian anti-satellite test were the staff of LEO Labs Australia. Director Terry Van Haren said, and I quote, "This is the most irresponsible action we have seen in space for some years," end quote. LEO Labs used ground-based radars to plot the emerging debris field. At first, they saw 30 unique objects spanning a distance of 40 kilometres. A few days later, 100 objects were spread over a 500-kilometre window. Well, soon after the anti-satellite test, the United States State Department claimed that there were over 1,500 pieces of trackable orbital debris from this anti-satellite test. Well, as of this morning, none of these pieces has been entered into the publicly accessible catalogue of space objects maintained by the United States Space Force. Yesterday, our time, or Monday evening in the United States, NASA received a debris notification for the International Space Station. In a statement, NASA said that due to the lack of opportunity to properly assess the risk it could pose to the astronauts, teams have decided to delay the spacewalk planned for today, Melbourne time. Now, this morning, NASA announced that they had determined the orbit of the debris does not pose a risk to the spacewalk and that it will take place tomorrow beginning at 9:30 p.m. Melbourne time. NASA astronauts Thomas Mashburn and Kyla Barron will replace a faulty antenna system on the space station's truss structure. The NASA statements have not specified the debris involved in this situation or in this collision alert. Now, however, we here at the Space Show assume it is from Cosmos 1408. The dangers posed to a spacewalking astronaut by orbital debris was exaggerated in the movie Gravity. Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield comments.
My name's Chris Hadfield, a colonel in the Air Force, astronaut, flew in space three times, commanded the International Space Station, did two different spacewalks, used to be a test pilot, engineer, downhill ski racer, occasional guitar player, and we're here today to look at some scenes from different space movies.
Need to detach. I can't see you anymore. Do it now.
This is Gravity, and this is the scene where the Space Shuttle Explorer is orbiting the Earth and they're doing repairs on the Hubble telescope and they go through some sort of asteroid debris field. Okay, well, that's a nice concept, and the visuals are great, but what happens is so far from reality that I want to turn my head. First off, the satellite goes whizzing by at about, I don't know, maybe 120 miles an hour. Satellites are going 5 miles a second, 17,500 miles an hour. How that thing where you could identify the satellite going by. And then,
Houston, I've lost visual, Dr. Stone.
And it's so execrable from an actual practical demonstration of what the reality of spaceflight is like. George Clooney is driving around like some sort of space cowboy as the only person who really knows what's going on. And what is he even doing out there, driving around in his jetpack? I mean, we don't go outside recreationally. It's so different than the actual people that are exploring space, that devote their lives to being astronauts, that are actually on the space station right now. Real astronauts recognize the seriousness of their job, the fact that it's always life or death, and that we're there as the representatives of 7.5 billion people.
That's Chris Hadfield. So don't expect Thomas Mashburn to go jetting about like an excited teenager. Instead, it will be a slow, hand-over-hand progress around the exterior of the station, whilst safely clipped with tethers. So, with the Cosmos 1408 destruction, no doubt both EOS and LEO Labs are working hard to identify the fragments.